Morning, church. Welcome to Sunday morning, as it'll be for the next several weeks. We're going to go to an online format for our worship, and we're working out the kinks in real time today with Brian and Mary and David and Kirsten are here, and Haley and Robin are helping us shoot this to provide a worship experience for you online at home. If for some reason you find that this is not working out, shoot us an email and we'll try to find another format that works. We're doing the best we can here, so we ask for a little bit of patience as we learn a whole new craft and a whole new way of providing worship for a community of loving people. A couple things to announce. First, of course, is that this is how we'll be gathering for the next several weeks. The liturgy that you'll experience is adjusted a bit for an online format. We thought, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for us to have communion when we're not really having communion together. So what you'll see is a service that looks a little bit more like the front part of our service on Sunday morning. If you are not receiving our emails, you can log on to our website and sign up for our email newsletter, or you can shoot us an email and say, hey, help, please sign me up. I want to know what's going on. Many of you know that we are in the midst of raising $200,000 for the Crisis Relief Fund that 122 and the Community Foundation and so many more people in our community are working to raise in order to support those who are negatively affected by this coronavirus crisis. I'm happy to report that after that $100,000 challenge, without sending anybody a link or anything encouraging you to donate other than a bullet point in an email, we're already $116,000. That includes the match. So we're already $16,000 deep into matching this wonderful gift so that we might lovingly provide for folks in our community. I would also say, as much as you can, I would encourage you to continue to support local business as best you can. Cindy and Jade and Jas and I picked up food from Cafe Genevieve last night. There are a lot of to-go options around that provide for enough distancing and enough care so that we might both enjoy wonderful food and support our local businesses as we move through this relatively dynamic and unpredictable time. We plan to offer some teachings in different formats, some podcasts, some video casts, maybe some written letters from time to time, so that you might interact with us a little bit more. So I'm going to stop talking. We're going to have a little bit of silence and move into this liturgy. I think you'll see the sermon will be a bit different than you see on Sunday morning, a discussion between the three of us. And then Kirsten has some wonderful music. Kirsten and David both have some wonderful music for us as well.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness, cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son, Jesus, came down from heaven to be the true bread, giving life to the world. Give us this bread forever, that he may live in us and we in him. We ask these prayers in the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I rejected him for being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're going to read Psalm 23 together in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud and the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So we have this great story from 1 Samuel, and I just can't resist in talking about that a little bit with y'all this morning, because it seems so appropriate for this strange time that we find ourselves in. The story starts with Samuel hearing the voice of the Lord, of like, "Hey, Samuel, come on, let's get this thing going. Like, why are you still sitting there? Why are you crying over Saul? I told you, it was time to move on and go find the Lord's anointed." And maybe we don't have a sense of this because we don't know exactly, you know, where to find ourselves in the story, but we remember that Samuel is the priest who anoints Saul and serves Saul very faithfully. And then Saul upsets God by not following through on what the Lord asked him to do in defeating the Amalekites. Saul decides that he's going to slaughter the weak but preserve the king. So there's this element of privilege to the story. And it seems like the Lord gets upset with that. So God comes to Samuel again and says, "Samuel, like, okay, time to pick another king." And Samuel's like, "Wait a minute, what's going on? You know, this can't be, this can't be." But of course it is. And so our story for this morning opens up in this place where Samuel is still sitting there. And God basically comes to Samuel and says, like, "What are you doing still sitting there? It's time to get up and go and do this work." And Samuel's like, "Yeah, but I mean, Saul's going to be upset about this. How exactly do I do this?" And so he's like, "Okay, we'll take some cattle that we can make an offering, and I'll get in front of Jesse, and I will look over his sons." And God says, "And then I will speak to you about the one that is to be the Lord's anointed." So Samuel takes his horn of oil that he'll use to anoint the new king. He goes and he encounters Jesse, and Jesse's like, "Yeah, okay, here are all my sons." And they start parading these sons back and forth in front of Samuel. And God keeps going like, "Nope, that's not it. Not that one. Nope, not that one." And Samuel's thinking like, "Well, it's got to be this one. This one's strong and handsome. He looks like a king looks." And then we get this great line, which I absolutely love, which just plays into our situation here, which is, "The Lord does not see as mortals see." And I thought, wow. I mean, that just stopped me up this week. I went back and I, you know, for those of you who have been around church, you know that everybody got a pair of glasses this Lent. And the idea was that we would look through loving lenses over the course of Lent, that we would take different perspectives, chosen perspectives, about how we might see the world. And now, here today, we find ourselves in these incredibly strange circumstances. I don't mean just sitting in front of an iPhone filming, but everything has changed. And I keep thinking about that line, you know, God doesn't see as we humans see. And I was wondering what y'all thought about that. Any thoughts?
I've been thinking a lot about that since you sort of brought that to our attention, that you really wanted to talk about this morning. And I think so much of what we're looking at and going through right now is about getting some perspective. Mm-hmm. And we can wallow, we can get really afraid, and we can be angry, and we can be disappointed on all of these things. And it's a reminder to me to sort of step above that and try to get a different perspective on it. I don't believe that, you know, there's a purpose in everything, and God is trying to teach us a lesson or any of those things. Mm-hmm. But I think it is a moment where we can reach into ourselves and find that better part of ourselves, and you see it all around us. There's so much beauty and incredible gifts that are coming out of this time. I'm overwhelmed by it, and I think that just is that reminder to
it's
me.
Happening. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's happening.
And I love the idea that that God sees things differently than we see, and that I have to think that if God sees things, God has a pretty long vision, not only in space, but in time also. And I think that this is calling me, perhaps calling us, to start seeing things in a wider perspective. Stop seeing things so individually, so in a limited fashion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe God, I don't believe that God is trying to prove something to us, and I certainly don't think that God is trying to punish us.
Right.
With this COVID-19 pandemic, but I'm open to the idea that perhaps God will teach us something through this, through these hard times, through these struggles. It's becoming more and more apparent how connected we really are. Mm-hmm. This is a challenge for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are in this earth. And I think that has opened my eyes to some challenges for certain, but to some possibilities too.
I like that idea that there is something new for us to see. Mm-hmm. And I hear even Brian suggesting and Mary suggesting that the new thing that we might see as is characteristic of the way that God works in the world would be beautiful and creative, loving, that God coming among us and making these demands of us right now seems like in a very dramatic way, but always, I mean, we dreamed up this idea long before we were experiencing a global pandemic. We have some sense that God is inviting us to look at the world in a slightly different way, maybe a dramatically different way. We know those teachings of Jesus of the kingdom of heaven is now, tell them the kingdom of heaven has come near to them, differentiating an experience that happens at the same time, you know, differentiating these two perspectives of kingdom of the world and kingdom of heaven. And so I think that's what we'll leave you with this week, this idea of a challenge, perhaps one that requires a bit of struggle, but a challenge to lean into new ways of seeing things, an invitation for us to see a little bit more love in the world or hope in the world. It's around. I was walking the dog around our neighborhood night before last, I think, being careful to stay at least 6 feet apart from the other neighbors moving around the neighborhood. And I just walked past, there was a little spot on the street where likely a child had taken some sidewalk chalk, and there were just three red hearts out in front of a house. And I thought, you know, it was just one of those moments where you're like, there it is. Okay, there it is. I see it. Thank you. I see it. And just continue to walk. So I think that's the challenge that we have before us, that all of us have before us, and the one that we would issue you this week as you're huddled up at home and keeping your distance from those you know and love. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God, God the Creator, who reminds us in the drawing of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of the universe, where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touched the earth in love, and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among the plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the church, the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
that our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
To the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially those on our parish prayer list. Jackie, Addison, Bobby, Alex, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, Stan, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, the Eastman family, Blair, Bert, Gail, Pat, Amy, Michael, Silas, Robin, Anne Marie, Ned, the Lynn family, Kip, Mary, Mark, Julie, Will, Tony, John, Roy, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Cora, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, Sarah, Ann, Cindy, and those we now name silently or aloud. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy in compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect with and to love one another, let us pray to God. In thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Sharon, Chase, Sherry, Mac, Alan, Fern, Will, Alexander, Keith, Justin, Donaldson, Peter, Kia, Molly, Anne, Madeline, Lily, John, Mason, and those celebrating anniversaries, Peter and Carol, Rob and Pam. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your Spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world.
Amen.
And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you today and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
and also with you.